تعالى. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحج أشهر معلومات، ومن فرض فيهن الحج فلا رفث ولا فسوك ولا جدال في الحج، وما تفعلوا من خير يعلمه الله، وتزودوا فإن خير الزاد التقوى، واتقون يا أولي الألباب. صدق الله العظيم. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من حج فلم يرفث ولم يفسق رجع كيوم ولدته أمه. فإذا قال الحج المبرور ليس له جزاء إلا الجنة، وكما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام، قال الله تعالى في شان حبيبي: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على سيدنا ومولانا محمد، كلما ذكره الذاكرون وكلما غفل عن ذكر غافلون. أما بعد، respected brothers and elders in Islam, all praise be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our creator, our nourisher, our sustainer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has blessed us with many favors, and the greatest favor that Allah has granted us is that Allah ta'ala has given us this ability that we can recognize Him, that we know that we have a creator, we have a nourisher, we have a sustainer. And Allah Ta'ala gives us this opportunity again and again to place our foreheads on the ground in front of Him, to acknowledge our weakness and to show His greatness. My dear brothers, this favor of Iman is beyond human comprehension, because this is the passport to Jannah. Without Iman, a person will never ever enter into Jannah. And together with Iman, we need A'mal as-Salihah. We need to do good actions all the time, because the currency of the year after is A'mal. A'mal as-Salihah. There's two types of A'mal. One is A'mal as-Salihah, and one is A'mal as-Sayyi'ah. One is good deeds and one is bad deeds. So we have to accumulate as much as we can of good deeds, so that on the day of Qiyamah, when waznul a'mal will take place, when our deeds are going to be weighed, wal waznu yawma izin al-haqq. فَمَنْ ثَقُلَتْ مَوَازِينُهُ. That person whose deeds, his weight of deeds are heavy on the scales, then he will enter Jannah. That person whose weight of deeds are light, then he will have to go via Jahannam to enter into Jannah. Allah save and protect us. So my dear brothers, Allah has given us these Ashhur al-Hurum, these sacred months in which we can increase in these A'mal. Because in the sacred months, the rewards of the A'mal too are increased. Like when a person goes to Makkatul Mukarrama and reads one salah in Makkatul Mukarrama, he gets the reward of 100,000 salah. And when he goes to Madinatul Munawwara and he reads one salah, then he gets the reward of 50,000 salah. And now, add that to the months of Zulqa'dah, Zulhijjah, Muharram, the sacred months, then the reward is magnified beyond human comprehension. So this is the time, these are the moments. We have to take advantage of it and increase as much as we can in whatever good we can, whenever we can, wherever we can. And the two great and important ibadat that take place in this Mubarak month, or in the month of Dhul Hijjah, one is the great ibadat, the Sunnat Ibrahim, which is the sacrifice of an animal in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second most important amal is the 5 days of Hajj, where a person has to present himself in the great and the grand city of Makkatul Mukarramah and go to the plains of Arafah and then back to Muzdalifah and then from Muzdalifah back to Mina and then back to Makkah and then back to Mina. He has to fulfill all these rituals in order to complete his Hajj, which is the fourth pillar of Islam. Shahadatu an la ilaha illallah. There are 5 pillars of Islam. One is the Shahada, to read the Shahada. Second, iqami salah, is to perform, not only perform, but establish salah, and to perform it with all its requisites in the best manner possible, so that a person can achieve the greatest rewards of salah. Because salah too is such an ibadah. It's such an ibadah that if it is performed in a haphazard manner, if it is performed without any concentration, devotion, focus and attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you see, a person doesn't fulfill all the rukun, all the different postures of salah in the way he has supposed to perform it with itminan, with composure. He's just rushing from one rukun to the next, from one posture to the next. He gets up from ruku in qawma and he hardly even stands and is rushing into sajda. He gets up from one sajda and he hardly pauses. At least 3 seconds you have to pause. There's a dua to be read in qawma. Rabbana lakal hamdu mil'a samawati wa mil'a al-ardi wa mil'a ma baynahuma wa mil'a ma shi'ta min shay'in ba'd. Rabbana lakal hamdu hamdan kathiran tayyiban mubarakan fi. You see, he has to read these du'as in the qawma. So the pause is maintained like how it is maintained in the ruku and sajda. And between the two sajdas in the jalsa, Allahumma ghfirli warhamni wa'afini wahdini warzuqni. 5 beautiful du'as that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has taught us. If we didn't learn, then find out and learn it and read it. Because this is very important for the composure and the performing of the salah in the correct manner. Otherwise, if a person performs this salah, he doesn't care how he performs this salah. He just wants to get done and run out of the masjid. He's the last person to come in, the first person to go out, just to get done, so that he thinks that he has fulfilled his responsibility towards his Creator. Then he is fooling himself, because it is said that a person who performs a salah without any composure, without concentration, devotion, without focus and attention, without not in the proper manner, he doesn't read his Surah Fatiha properly. He never learned to read it and doesn't care about learning about it. He doesn't read his surahs correctly. He reads it any haphazard way. He reads the du'as of salah in any haphazard way. Then that salah takes a form of a dirty, stinking, filthy rag. And it is thrown back on his face. And that salah says to him, ضَيَّعَقَ اللَّهُ كَمَا ضَيَّعْتَنِي. May Allah destroy you as you destroyed him. As you destroyed me. Allah save and protect us, my dear. Salah is not something we just take it for granted. It's just up, down and touch the ground and back to town. No, my dear brother. And on the other hand, when a person performs salat beautifully, then the salat takes a beautiful form. It takes a beautiful form. And it makes dua for him, preserve you as you have preserved me. So in order to get the reward for our amal, we have to do it in the proper manner. We have to do it with focus and attention towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is why niyat is so important. That before any action, إِنَّمَا الْأَعْمَالُ بِالنِّيَّاتِ. Every action we do is depend on the intention. If the intention is correct, وَإِنَّمَا لِإِمْرِئٍ مَّا نَوَى. And whatever your intention is, that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give you. You see, every amal that we are doing, we have to first ask ourselves, why am I doing this action? For example, we came into the masjid today. Why did I come here? Is it just because it's a Friday? Or I just came here now, I have to do something on a Friday. I call myself a Muslim, so on a Friday I must present myself in the masjid, you see, so that people don't say that, oh, that person, hey, he's not reading salah. Even Friday he doesn't come to the mosque. Is that the intention? So we have to check our intention, because the reward and the protection of an amal, the reward and the protection of an amal depends on the intention. If the intention is incorrect, if the intention, for example, I am speaking here now, what is my intention? Am I speaking here to entertain a few people that are here, or just to, you know, pass some time here, or just to get it done and over with? Then وَإِنَّمَا لِإِمْرِ مَا نَوَى. Then that's my intention, you see. So that is what I will get. And you who are listening to me, is your intention just to listen to something and say, wah wah, Maulana gave a good bayan, it was very nice, we got entertained, and before we leave the doors, khalas, through in through one ear, out through the other ear, it's all over and done. Like one student of deen was studying. So after the, so he went to one place, he gave a bayan. So he's writing to Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib, Rahmatullah Alayh, that Maulana, I went to that masjid, I gave the Jummah talk, and I gave a beautiful talk, according to him, I gave a beautiful talk. And after the talk, no one came and told me, mashallah, mashallah. No one came and told me. So what was his intention? That was the reaction. So if our intention, you see, intention is for a mu'min, niyatul mu'min khayrun min amali. The niyah of a mu'min is even better than his action. Because if his niyah is khalis, and it has to be khalis, because ana aghna shuraka'i min ash-shirk, Allah Ta'ala says, I am totally, you know, as far as anything joining partners with me in any ways whatsoever, I'm the furthest away from that. So any action a person does, if there is a little bit of name, fame, you know, or some worldly gain, then that action is rejected because you didn't do it for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we have to keep on checking our intention. We have to ask ourselves, am I doing this action solely, wholly for Allah before the action? Whilst we're doing that action, then too we have to ask ourselves, am I doing this action only for Allah? Because shaitan is a master planner. Shaitan, master planner. You see, first he won't let us do actions. If we want to come to the masjid, we want to come for salah, he will bring 100 excuses in front of us not to perform salah. That no, now he's too busy, now is my business time. Like one person, we went to meet him one day, and we were speaking to him and we told him, you know, mashallah, you have to come for salah. You know? Salah is very important in the life of a mu'min. In the life of a mu'min, the main thing is his salah. The position of salah in the life of a mu'min is like the head in the body. If there is no salah, then he is a dead Muslim. He is a lifeless Muslim. And 5 times salah, not 1 time on a Jummah, that I came for salah. So mashallah, I did my duty. I did my responsibility. Like how the Christians, they go to the church on a Sunday, and they go have their Sunday whatever prayers or whatever. So they did their duty, now they Christians. So a Muslim also, I went Friday, what else do I need to do? So we have to make sure that we perform our full 5 times salah in the masjid. And for who? For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because if there's any change in our niyat, you see, one person, one alim, one maulana was encouraging the people in one village that, see, you must perform your salah. So, and he's giving them fazila. He says, Allah will do this for you. He'll increase your rizq. If you want a cow, now there, this thing, you get a cow. Five benefits of performing salah. One of them is Allah will make your rizq easy for you. Your sustenance will be easy for you. You cross the bridge of Sirat with the speed of lightning. You'll be saved from the azab and the punishment of the qabr. You'll enter into Jannah without reckoning. So he told him, Allah will give you a beautiful cow. So this person said, okay. He started performing salah. He said, for 40 days if you perform your salah, whatever you want, Allah will give you. So after 40 days finished, so he went to the Mawlana. He said, Mawlana, what are you talking, man? 40 days went, no cow, nothing. He said, "Bhai, I told you that to encourage you. I didn't tell you to read the salah for the cow." He says, "Yeah, that's why I never read the salah. I never make wuzu before I read salah." You see? So that is our mentality also. We want from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but we don't do for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So every action of ours has to be done sincerely. If there's no sincerity in that action, you see, that action will become a wabal upon us. It is said on the day of Qiyamah, 3 people will be thrown into Jahannam first. 3 people will be thrown into Jahannam first. The first person will be a mujahid. Will be a mujahid. A person who gave his life for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He died in the battlefield. But he'll be thrown into Jahannam. And when he's being thrown into Jahannam, he will ask, why am I being thrown into Jahannam? He said, you are being thrown into Jahannam because your niyat for jihad was to show off, to make people say, mashallah, such a brave man, to make a name from yourself, mujahid so and so. Mujahid so and so. You see? So now it has been told. In the dunya it was told that you the mujahid, you are the great warrior. So now nothing for you because that was your niyat. Then the second person that will be thrown into Jahannam will be a sakhi, a very generous person. So the generous person, mashallah, he spent his wealth for the sake of Allah, for the deen of Allah. But he'll be thrown into Jahannam. So he will ask, why? Why am I being thrown into Jahannam? You say, when you were giving those donations, when you were giving that money for whatever cause, then your niyat was that how people must say, you know, that masjid, yeah, that Mr. So-and-so, he's the one who donated. He built the masjid. In fact, they even put plaques everywhere, plaque. This masjid was donated by so-and-so. This madrasa was... Allahu Akbar. So he did it for the name and fame. He did it for the plaque. He did it so that everybody must come to know. Yeah, bahut sakhi aadmi hai. He's a very generous man. He's doing this and he's doing that. And he too will go and tell people, maine ye kya, and here, you know, this masjid, yeah. I'm the one, man. I put the money front. I did it for this. You see, I was the one who had everything organized. So it will be said to him, bhai, you didn't do it for Allah. You never did it for Allah. You did it for name and fame. You did it for some worldly gain, you see. So he will be thrown into Jahannam, all his amal gone. All that sadaqat and all that he gave will be thrown. That's why when we give sadaqah also, it must be done in such a secretive way that what you're giving with the right hand, the left hand must know. Nobody must know. Like how we do not advertise our evil actions. See, when we do evil actions, nobody go. Today, unfortunately, we're in the cell phone era and everybody wants to show. Everything is show business. Everything is selfitis, that disease that the person has. That everything he wants to make a big show about it. See where I am. Put it on his status. Everybody must give a thumbs up. Everybody must give a, what they call it, he must like. He must give a like for it. Everything must show. Must show business. He's in the Haramain Sharifain. He's sending selfies of himself. See where I am. Allahu Akbar. What a desecration. What a dishonoring of those Mubarak lands. In that Mubarak place where the Anwarat, where the special mercies of Allah is descending. Even in that place today, the great ibadat of Umrah, the great ibadat of Hajj has been brought to such a low level of just showing where I am and what I am doing. You are making tawaf around the house of Allah, and in your hand raised up, you are taking a video of the whole thing. You are standing in front of the Rosa Mubarak, one of the most holiest places on the surface of the earth, in front of the greatest creation of Allah, and that cell phone is in the hand, and the man is taking a selfie, and he's screaming to, "Main yahan hoon, qabr mubarak ke aage, aap bhi salam bhejo." What a mockery, dear brothers. The whole sanctity of the place has been destroyed. But this doesn't mean that we should not go to these holy lands. We need those holy lands. We need the Qabatullah. We need to send salam in front of the Qabr Mubarak to purify, to cleanse this heart which is full of filth and dirt, which has been darkened by sin, which has destroyed our dunya. We need to cleanse it. We need to purify it. And that is the place, because that is where the tajalliyat rabbani, where the special mercies of Allah are descending all the time, where we are being showered with this special mercy, of course, again, if our niyat is correct, when we go to this place, because it says before Qiyamah, people will come to their holy land, you see. The rich will come for tafrih, they'll come for holiday. And such an environment is being created now, that just walk 50 steps out of the Haram Sharif and you are in the malls of Europe. All the shops of Europe, all these big end stores or whatever you can call them, you are right in front of them. Coffee shops, people smoking not even 50 meters away from the Haram. So an environment of holiday has been created. One shop to the next shop, you see them people walking all over the shop. You see. Destroying the sanctity of the place, whereas just to look at the Kaaba is ibadat. Person who's just looking at the Kaaba is getting reward. He can read hundreds of nafil namaz at home, but he won't get the reward of just looking at the Kaaba. And if he's performing salah, then 40 mercies descend upon him. And if he's making tawaf, then 60 mercies of Allah descend upon this person. So that is the place to cleanse ourselves, to purify ourselves. That is why in the hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says, وَأَنْ حَجَّ وَلَمْ يَرْفَسْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُقْ رَجَعَكَ يَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. That person who goes for hajj, and he doesn't nullify his hajj, or he doesn't cause the hajj to be contaminated with fisk and fujur, with sin and not controlling his gaze and doing all haram actions. You see, رَجَعَ كَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. When he returns, he's like a newborn babe. Like he was just born. That is what Hajj does to a person. It cleanses it. So everyone should have this desire to perform Hajj. If you haven't applied, then apply now. Because Allah is the provider, Allah is the doer. He brings people to that Mubarak lands. And even if we can't go now, our hearts in these months should be, you know, linked to the Mubarak lands. Our thoughts, our mind must be there all the time. That the Hujjaj must be doing this now. The Hujjaj must be doing that now. You know, they must be enjoying themselves in this ibadat. Because the whole idea is to enjoy yourself in ibadat. To immerse yourself in the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. To immerse yourself in the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To stand in front of that Roza Mubarak. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Rasulallah. As-salatu was-salamu alayka ya Habiballah. And to understand that as I'm making this salam, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is replying to my salam. Subhanallah. What a beautiful feeling. What a spiritually invigorating feeling a person gets when you're in front of these, in these Mubarak lands, in these Mubarak places. So it should be the desire and the tamanna of every person that how I can be there and how I can achieve this cleansing and this purification, which is needed by us all the time. Because in this dunya we are so immersed in all kinds of haram and sin all the time. So how are we going to get this cleansing? This will happen when we do these ibadat. What? The correct intention. When we do this ibadat with the correct intention, that we do it solely and wholly for the pleasure of Allah. وَأَتِمُّ الْحَجَّ وَالْأُمْرَةَ لِلَّهِ. Do your hajj, do your umrah for Allah. Likewise, this great ibadat of qurbani, today we have just made it a ritual. It's not a ritual. It's not a ritual. We just want to, send it somewhere. I got no time to dirty my hands and my clothes. I need to send it somewhere. You know, I'm sending it to this farm, or I'm sending it to this place, or I'm sending it to this foreign country. No, my dear brothers. Qurbani is also an ibadat. And in ibadat, you have to perform it yourself. Yes, send your nafil. No problem. Send your nafil. Send it wherever you want. How many nafils do you want? Send it. But do your own qurbani with your own hands. And get that feeling when you're performing that qurbani. That I am slaughtering this animal. This animal is going to carry me on the day of Qiyamah over the sirat. This animal will be taken and it will be weighed on my deed of scales. For every fiber on the body of that animal. Sahaba radiallahu anh asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَهَذِهِ الْأَضَاحِي يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. What is the slaughtering of the animal? So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, هِيَ سُنَّةُ أَبِيكُمْ إِبْرَاهِيمُ. It is the sunnah of your father Ibrahim alayhi salam. Says, وَفَمَا لَنَا فِيهَا. What is there for us in this? لِكُلِّ شَعْرٍ حَسَنَا. For every hair on the animal's body, you're getting a hasana, a good deed. وَالْحَسَنَةُ بِأَشْرِ أَمْثَالِهَا. And that is multiplied 10 times. Depending on how sincere we are again. You see, not that we're going to take the qurbani, and while the qurbani is being taken, then we're taking a video. Video, again, self-fighters. You see, self-fighters. We have a very low esteem. We have a very low esteem. So we want to boost our ratings. We want to be like a celebrity. We need to show the whole world that this is my animal. This is me. I am making this qurbani. Watch me. Show it to put it on the status, put it here, send it there, let it go viral. This is our mentality today. Everything must be viral so that I can get name and fame. If that is the reason, we are getting nothing. Because any amal which is not done for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, there's no reward for it. In fact, as I said, and we in that hadith, that the generous person who gave so much, and he did so much, but he did it for name and fame, so that he can be called a generous person, it will be said to him on the day of Qiyamah, it has been already said that you were so generous, and you did this, and you did that, and you gave money here, and you gave money there, and you helped this one, and you helped that one. Your reward was given in the dunya, now you go straight into Jannah. So great, great amal, if done with the wrong niyat, if done with the wrong intention, if done in the wrong way, salat is not performed in the correct way, then that great amal, that same salat that is supposed to take you to Jannah, can become a means of your destruction. You see. So we have to be careful. لَيْ يَنَالَ اللَّهُ لُحُمَهَا وَلَا دِمَاؤُهَا وَلَا كِي يَنَالُهُ التَّقْوَى مِنْكُمْ. It is not the blood and the flesh of the animal that reaches Allah. It is the taqwa, the piety, the sincerity that is in your heart. That is which reaches Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So keep on checking our intentions when we're doing any amal, before the amal, after the amal, during the amal, and after the amal also make tawbah and istighfar. Make tawbah and istighfar. Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam built the beautiful building of the Kaaba. And what dua they made after that? Rabbana taqabbal minna. O Allah, accept my amal. Accept our building of the Kaaba. Watuba alayna. And forgive us. And forgive us. For verily you are the most forgiving, most merciful. So we too, after every amal, make tawbah, make istighfar, ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for his forgiveness, and ask him to accept. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillah.